Beloved brothers and sisters, in the last session, we looked at the scene where God led Job's three friends to repent. They tried to teach Job with the truth, yet their hearts were not right. And because they distorted the truth with their own thoughts, God became angry with them. In this way, no matter how much men's words may seem like truth, they can still be different from God's will, and thus He may end up piling up great sin before Him. This message shouldn't just be about the faults of Job's friends and that Job interceded for them and God accepted his intercession and God forgave them. You have to apply this message in your life, your relationship with others, how you look at your environment. It depends on the situation. You have to do things according to the will of God. That way, you have to listen to the clear voice of the Holy Spirit. But when you are not a man of truth, you only have the word as a knowledge. But if you evaluate and measure things, you may end up being wrong. And between people and in your relationship with God, we have to know what kind of repentance is true repentance. How should we receive God's forgiveness? By offering what kind of repentance? And Job's friends repented before Job and obeyed God's word, and they received forgiveness. Also, we have to... God said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, "Do not go on boasting so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed." Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Therefore, before we teach, judge, or condemn others, we should first examine our own hearts, words, and deeds. Job's friends obeyed the word of God, went to Job, and offered burnt offerings, and only after Job interceded for them in prayer did God forgive them. Through this, we came to realize once again how important it is to obey the word of God and how greatly God delights in the prayer of the righteous. Today, I'll share with you what blessings God gave to Job after he had finished his trials and also the spiritual meanings and lessons contained in those blessings. May this word bring you true enlightenment and the power to be transformed so that you too may fully receive and enjoy the comfort and blessings that Job enjoyed after being changed through trials. Chapter 42, verse 10 said, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased double all that Job had." When Job prayed for his friends, God blessed him and gave him twice as much wealth as he had possessed before. After Job came to understand God's love and justice, he did not hate his friends or seek revenge, but rather forgave and prayed for them. Only then did God bless Job abundantly. After his trials over, how was trials over? Job Job received the forgiveness for his faults. What does it mean? He himself turned away completely. He realized what kind of evil he had, evil that he didn't know. He had arrogance and he misunderstood God. He realized that original evil and he repented. And in addition to that, he bore fruits in accordance with the repentance. He turned from the way he used to walk and walked the opposite. Let's say you walk to the east and you realize your fault and you seek God's forgiveness. And the perfect forgiveness, perfect repentance, you have to go west. You have to turn from east and go west according to God's word. This is the perfect repentance and perfect turning away. He didn't hate his friends at all. He didn't harbor resentment. He didn't harbor hard feelings, but he embraced them and he prayed, interceded for them. Because of this, that's why God blessed him. You know, even if you commit sin and repent, just repenting doesn't mean you'll receive blessings. Actually, but after you sin, you become like you. So if you repent, you go back to the original state. So there's no blessing. So you have to turn from your ways and you have to bring fruit. And then you will get your receive blessings. And Job was such a case. He didn't just repent, but he had love and accomplished. That's why God was pleased and blessed him. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job does not simply mean the recovery of his health and material possessions, but it also contains the meaning that God had him completely recover from all the sufferings and wounds of his heart. The hardships and sufferings Job went through, Job's friends cursed, and even his servants despised him. In that situation, Job must have been heartbroken, anguished. And during the trials, we see that a lot of people betray. People whom you give trust and love, when they betray you, it just breaks your heart. It's tremendous pain. But Job was in that situation. Even his own wife cursed him, and his friends. But as we see in the first, and when his friends came to him first, and they sat with him for 7 days, remaining silent. He was actually, they used to have a good bond, but the friends began to argue over who's right or wrong, and they even spoke curse. And you may also have wounds in the heart. You may have, of course, physical pain is great, but in your relationship with others, you may feel hurt because of others' words. You feel anguished. You feel distressed. You feel ignored. Such wounds do not heal easily until relationship is actually very difficult to resolve such problems. But in Job's case, because God intervened, all his problems were resolved, and people began to also.
Okay.
And let's say you, there's someone who bothers you and they come to you and apologize to you. Does this mean your problems will be resolved? No. You have to love the person who harassed you, and then you will heal. Your wounds will be healed as we live our life. One of the most difficult things is to maintain is about relationships. You experience betrayal. You experience agony. Once you just shake it off, and you may think, because another person doesn't come to you and ask for forgiveness, I am uncomfortable. The only thing you have to do is you just love. You have to heal yourself. It can heal itself. Some people may have cursed you. Some may have cursed you and call you wicked. But that shouldn't matter to you. Even Jesus went through all kinds of mockery and suffering. And even if someone criticized you for no reason, and other people keep criticizing you, but while it's their fault, it's their sin. It shouldn't matter to you. And if you deal with them in goodness, you will be blessed. This is the way to heal yourself in the Lord. And in my childhood, and I had a problem with one of my friends, and I try to talk with her, but as I talked, it didn't solve the problem, and the situation got worse and worse. I also have that experience, but important thing is you should have understanding, forgiveness. You fill yourself with the Lord's goodness. Only then you will be healed. Your wounds will be gone. You should stop hating. And let's say another person just bothered you so much and left. That doesn't mean you have to find that person and try to solve things. You have to examine whether this is the way to perfect healing. It begins from love and forgiveness. Job also did so. That Job received twice the blessing of his former possessions is truly an extraordinary blessing. Even before his trials, Job was the greatest man of the East, but after enduring the tests, he received double, unimaginable blessing. As we can see, trials are blessings. When we look into the Bible, we see that whenever the forefathers of faith kept their hearts unchanging before God and pleased Him even in the midst of trials, God always repaid them with amazing blessings. Last time, we briefly referred to the example of Joseph, but in this message, we will look more deeply at his life from the perspective that trials are blessing. Joseph was the son of Rachel, whom Rachel loved, and he received much affection from his father. Because of this, he became the target of brothers' jealousy. In addition, Job had two dreams given by God, and each time he shared them with his brothers as if boasting. Brothers, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaves stood upright while your sheaves gathered around and bowed unto me. Brothers, I had another dream. This time, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. These dreams foreshadowed that Joseph would one day become a great figure before whom God even, before whom even his parents and brothers would bow. Joseph shared them because he believed they were given by God, but his brothers hated him even more. Joseph hadn't understood his brother's heart. Even though he joyfully shared his dreams, in the end, his brothers sold him to the Midianite traders for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was taken down to Egypt and became a slave in the house of Potiphar, the captain of the guard. Yet even there, Joseph did not despair, but firmly believed in God who had given him the diseases, given him the dreams. Moreover, he devoted himself with all his effort to the work entrusted to him. As a result, Potiphar appointed him as the overseer of his household, and because of Joseph, that household was blessed. Therefore, Genesis chapter 39 verses 2 and 3 says, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand." From a fleshly perspective, it may have seemed that everything was against him, but spiritually, it was in fact the most prosperous way. Yet, afterward, Job faced another trial. He was tempted by his master's wife, but when he refused, he was falsely accused and thrown into the prison where the king's prisoners were confined. From being a beloved son, Joseph suddenly rose. The pain of being away from his family, locked in a foreign prison, was beyond words. And if Joseph had fleshly thoughts, he would have thought, "I heard about God from Isaac. He did wonderful things. He is the living God. He is our Father." So Joseph learned these things from early on, and that's how he was able to and because Joseph worked hard, he got recognized by his but all his dreams seemed to crumble down, and he found himself in a worse situation. He became a prisoner. He was imprisoned. What could he have done? What could he have thought? What could he have dreamed? Also, as I was going through trials, I paid more attention to the biblical figures who went through such trials. And while Job's friends argued with him, he must have been so heartbroken. Other people couldn't have bore it. But Job's, what would I have acted if it was us? We have to know that Joseph had such great faith. And Joseph, what did he have dream? He could have forgot about the dream God had given him. But Joseph did not forget. He still believed in the God of his ancestors, God of his father, God of his... he kept trusting. Brothers and sisters, if you were in Joseph's shoe, would you be able to rejoice and give him thanks? Far from seeing his dreams fulfilled, his situation kept worsening, and things seemed to move in the opposite direction of the dreams God had given him. Yet Joseph did not complain or sin. held firmly to the God-given dreams and didn't lose gratitude. Even in prison, he shone the light and led an exemplary life, and his faithfulness won the trust of the chief jailer. To live such a disciplined life in such a situation is never easy. You can just give up and your life is destroyed. But you may just lose all the desire. But Joseph didn't do so. He pulled himself together. He wanted to live an upright life. The fact that he could do so was great faith, and God uses such people.
Yet Joseph believed in God who gives life even to the dead, always walked in the right way, and waited for his time. Seeing that faith, God was always with Joseph and helped him. It wasn't just 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years. Over 10 years, about 12 years, 13 years, Job silently spent those days. Even though the situation seemed to get worse and worse, he didn't lose his faith and hope. So his dreams were realized. How did you keep your faith? In the face of a trial, in the face of difficulties, how did you maintain your faith? Please check, examine your faith. And even nowadays, and in the end, Joseph stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and by interpreting his dreams, he was miraculously raised to the position of prime minister. This was something unimaginable by human thought, yet God called Joseph, who was a prisoner, to stand before the king, and through him, he saved his brothers, his parents, and many lives during the famine. At last, the dreams Joseph had were fulfilled. Even in the furnace of trials, Joseph never lost his faith in God, pleased him, and became the passage to amazing blessing. All this process was under God's thorough plan and providence. It was God who allowed Joseph to be imprisoned, and it was God who caused Pharaoh to have a dream. In the end, the victory of one man's faith led to the salvation of countless lives. Brothers and sisters, do you see the difference between Job and Joseph here? When Joseph lost all his possessions and children, he did not complain against God. But when his own body became severely diseased, he ultimately failed to endure and complain against God. Contrarily, Joseph was not shaken in any situation. He trusted God to the end, held firmly to the dreams given by him, and kept his faith. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Therefore, no matter how hopeless the circumstances facing us may seem, we must trust God to the very end. Like Joseph, if we do not lose faith in any situation and trust in God's will, He will surely work through that faith. Examine your own faith. While saying with your lips, "I love God." I mean, some people, when they were filled up with the Spirit, they resolved to enter New Jerusalem. They were filled with hope, overflew with hope, and they became God's workers, and they wanted to commit themselves to God's kingdom. But at some point, in the law of sowing and reaping, we need justice, I told you. Once you have dreams before God, once the Holy Spirit gave you a dream, in order to achieve that dream, you need efforts. It requires efforts. You may say, I want to become a pastor. I want to become a Levite worker. Then you have to stand out. You have to pray. You have to... And also in the physical perspective, you have to become competent. Even out in the world, competent people are hired. And this church is aiming for the world evangelization. So we have to be competent. But some people, even though they want to be used, but they don't make efforts. Even though God gave them dreams, they don't make efforts. They don't fulfill the justice. So the dream cannot be fulfilled, realized. So you have to examine yourselves properly like this. And while saying with your lips, I love God, and calling Lord, Lord, have you truly shown the patience and faith of Joseph when trials and hardships came your way? If you have faith, you don't look at the situation, but you once you involve your fleshly thoughts, have you not complained, lamented, or grumbled even over small matters? We know well the reason why we are cultivated and refined on this earth. It is to cast off even the forms of evil, make our souls prosper, become true children who recover the image of God, and enter heaven where He dwells. This is why we are being cultivated. Therefore, if we have true faith, we must hold on to it until the end and become victorious no matter the trial. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, still works the same way for His children who believe and obey, just as He did for Joseph. Many forefathers of faith in both the Old and New Testaments received blessings through such trials. Whoever aligns their heart with God and firmly works in faith according to His word will find that God's blessings are never far away. Though entrusting everything to God seemingly makes things slow and difficult, He uses trials to lead us onto a more perfect path. We have to know that this is the perfect way of blessing. For God is without falsehood or unrighteousness. The way in which He leads us ensures righteous and just blessing. The following passage, chapter 42, verse 11 says, Then all His brothers and all His sisters and all who had known Him before came to Him, and they ate bread with Him in His house, and they consoled Him and comforted Him for all the adversaries that the Lord had brought on Him. And each one gave Him one piece of money and each wing of gold. Those who had once mocked, persecuted, and abandoned Job in his trial came back when he was restored and blessed. They ate with him, comforted him for all the sufferings he had endured, and even gave him precious gifts. Brothers and sisters, this is the way of human nature. But how should we act as God's children? If someone around you once lived in abundance but now finds themselves in hardship, you ought to visit them more often, pray for them more earnestly, and treat them more kindly. When Job was wealthy, many people admired and followed him. But when calamity struck, even his relatives and servants turned away from him, and his own wife cursed him, saying, "Curse God and die." Far from comforting Job, his friends also treated him as a wicked man, saying, "Your iniquity is great, and the joy of the wicked is brief." Job's wife and friends, who once shared warm love with him, now turned harshly against him, piercing him with severe words Imagine how deeply those words must have wounded his heart. To be betrayed by people whom we've loved and trusted is a pain that's truly hard to bear. In times of hardship, people are divided into two groups. Fleshly people seek their own gain and leave. Though they say they love, if things don't go their way, their hearts quickly change. Even after vowing loyalty, they turn away when things don't suit their feelings. Contrarily, people of spirit stand faithfully with others, even in their hardships. Even when they see their faults, they pity them and intercede in prayer. Once they choose to love someone, their hearts don't change even if things don't align with their thoughts. Staying by his... So, when a person tries to lead you to sin and evil, you shouldn't accompany him. When you accompany him, you may be affected by evil and commit sin, and you will deviate from the will of God. But otherwise, if another person just complains, so you have to keep praying for him, help him, and help him repent and turn from his ways. You shouldn't just say, because he is committing evil, I have to just leave him. The Bible has examples that show such a contrast. Because King David sinned, God turned his face away from him, and in consequence, he underwent great trials. His son Absalom rose in a rebellion, and David found himself in the wretched state of fleeing from his own palace. He was appointed. He became, and his own son rebelled, and he was fleeing away from the castle. Since following King David meant no promise of food or shelter, many people betrayed him and sided with Absalom. They served the king. And they should have figured out why David was going through trials. What Absalom did was absolutely wrong. He had selfish desire, and he was... Even though it felt like God abandoned David, but as we look at the situation, all the situation, you can discern. And yet, good-hearted people who followed the king to the end, even if they found him in such misery, going through life or death situations with him, these people shared in the glory when David restored to his throne. But those who betrayed him and ended on the past, the situation, I mean, this is the difference between flesh and spirit. A man of spirit will never betray even in the face of loss, but a man of flesh wavers and changes according to their own benefit. Even a person loved by God may go through trials, may experience hardship. And some people, when they betray others, they justify themselves. But in and people, but actually they were pursuing their own benefits and they were only giving excuses. Brothers and sisters, we are not to chase after immediate gain, but always seek God-pleasing will. Even if the path looks like the one of suffering, the valley of the shadow of death, I urge you in the name of the Lord to walk in faith and love. Job could have felt revenge towards those who betrayed and hurt him, but he didn't to the end. During the trials, they cursed each other, argued one another. Job also poured out curses, cursing words, but once he repented, he didn't do that. He didn't argue like you. He just embraced, he just let all of them go. Let go all of those. Through trials, he felt God's love, came to know His will, and became a true man of righteousness. Thus, he embraced with love even those who hated, accused, and reviled him, and showed them goodness. This is not something anyone can do. Because Job had met God and experienced His love, he was able to cast off flesh and overcome evil with good. This is what righteous people and the true Christians are like, and the will of God. Therefore, may you also follow Job's example, forgiving those who have hurt you, treating them with love, and living a life that brings you joy to God. Love and forgiveness is the attributes of God. God is love. When we have love, we can understand God and we can obey Him. And in the end, Job repented and Job acknowledged that he was ignorant and the Bible also described the blessings he received, and the Bible also records that what had been revealed during the trials, he embraced all the. The Bible described how he was changed. So I also want you to look back on yourself. Do you still remember the evil words other people spoke? And even after prayer, you feel you want to. You may think, I don't want to be that person because he has a different character. I don't hate him, but it's difficult to be with him. Yes, this is hatred. Once you change yourself, Job changed himself that way. When we talk about Holy Spirit, we talked about the levels of goodness of God. And while going through trials, we had a lot of hatred. Some people say that they were wounded a lot. But as I look back on myself, I don't have wounds of my heart. Even if other people gossiped about me for my faults, then because it was my fault, it's okay. Even though God forgave me, but people called me a sinner, it's okay. Because God is love, but people try to find fault with a person, but God forgives us. And once we live in light, God repays us so much. So that made me happier. Even though people try to harass me and bother me, but because I'm abound with the evidences of God's love, nothing harassed me and bothered me. So there was no need for me to have the wounds of the heart. So last week, we talked about the Job's friends, repentance, and forgiveness. And but if you have got involved in criticizing, accusing, you have to thoroughly repent. You have to think what God would have said. You have to thoroughly repent like the Job's friends did. So I didn't want to find out, I didn't want to hear or people's gossip. So while people, but you have to remove the wall of sin to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is natural. So this is regrettable. I hope you don't feel wounded by. So you have to become God's children, loved by God. Then how peaceful our life would be, and the blessings God gave to Job would be our blessing as well. In contrast, those who do not know God's love often cannot forgive people who hated, despised, and betrayed them, even after their circumstances improve, whether they make enemies of them. What would these people, when these people remember who criticized them, who bothered them, who looked down on them. So they are very narrow-minded. They want to take revenge. Yet, as believers who have received God's grace and the love of the Lord, we should forgive even those who have caused us deep pain and betrayed us, and show them generosity and love. Please keep in mind that this is the life of the righteous and the life worthy of God's grace. The heart that can love even an enemy is the very heart of Jesus Christ. When we treat others with this heart, even enemies will bow down and seek forgiveness. You should have such love in your heart and treat them with such love. When we become able to embrace even our enemies with love rather than fighting back with revenge, we can advance to a higher spiritual level. History itself shows that hatred and vengeance brought about destruction, while love resulted in peace and stability. Looking back, there have been many ambitious men who try to conquer the world through the power of guns, swords, and war, but their ends were always futile and tragic. For example, Napoleon waged countless wars to conquer Europe, but his invasion of Russia marked the beginning of his decline. He lost his power, and after a turbulent journey, he was exiled to the island of St. Helena, where he breathed his last. Napoleon was a conqueror, but he just led his life ended in misery. Also, Hitler provoked World War II by asserting the superiority of Germany and the German race, invaded many European nations, and brutally slaughtered countless lives, including the Jews. But what he left behind were countless victims, ruins, and his own miserable end. As we can see, throughout human history, those who sought to conquer the world by force only brought sorrow and suffering to mankind. But our Lord Jesus filled the law with love, and for us who follow His way, love, forgiveness, and virtue are also required. Therefore, we should cultivate tolerance and generosity by which we can embrace all with the heart of Jesus Christ. The following passage describes in detail how greatly Job was blessed after his trials. Chapter 42, verse 12 reads, "And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys." Today, wealth is often measured in money or property, but in the ancient Near East, the number and kinds of livestock were seen as symbols of wealth. At that time, farming and herding were at the center of life. A yoke in the passage refers to a plow drawn by two oxen. So, to possess 1,000 yoke means having 2,000 oxen. In addition, Job had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 donkeys. Imagine how vast a land he would have needed to raise such an enormous number of animals. Generally, it is said that one ox requires about 10 to 23 square meters of pasture land per day to graze. Thus, for all the livestock Job possessed to live together, he would have needed millions of meters of land each year. Moreover, because God blessed him, their ability to reproduce must have been remarkable, and Job's wealth must have kept increasing. To raise livestock, we also need many people, like shepherd boy, in charge of the flock. Job had an enormous amount of livestock. Also, he needed water, and in this way, Job's trials did not end in pain, but were followed by blessings beyond imagination. The passage continues in 42 verses 13 through 15. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he named first Jemima, and the second Kaziah, and the third Karen Hapak. In all the land, no women were found as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. In those days, to have many children was considered a blessing. Though Job had experienced the grief of losing all his children, God again gave him 7 sons again and 3 daughters, who were said to be the most beautiful in the land. To have even one daughter considered the most beautiful in the land would have been a great blessing, but Job had 3. How great must his joy have been? This must have been more than enough to comfort the sorrow of having lost his children. You went through hardships and difficulties, and you, but once God comforts and blesses you, God blesses you even more than before. Since his daughters were beautiful and lovely, he treated them as sons and granted them an inheritance. Considering his time when male dominance and female inferiority prevailed, this was truly exceptional, revealing how much Job loved and cherished his daughters. If we also bring joy to our Father God as his children, how greatly he will bless us. In Scripture, those who please God always received and special praise and blessings. Mary of Bethany, who poured perfume on Jesus' feet, was given this blessing from him. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. And when Jesus saw the poor widow offering 2 lepta, her entire livelihood, he commended her, saying, "This poor widow put in more than all of them." A life that pleases God always brings praise and blessing. Therefore, The Bible doesn't describe in detail how the widow was blessed, but she must have received a lot of blessings. Therefore, may you also please Him all the more, so that the promise of Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, will be abundantly fulfilled in your life. Brothers and sisters, we now come to the final verses of Job, chapter 42, verses 16 and 17 read, after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his sons and his grandsons and four generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. After receiving forgiveness and blessing from God, Job lived another 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren down to the fourth generation. This signifies that in addition to health and longevity, he enjoyed every honor one could experience on this earth. If you also discover yourselves more through the lectures on Job, we have studied, attained sanctification, and pleased God, you can glorify Him with great and marvelous blessings like Job. What kind of blessings do you seek from God? Health, financial blessings, and blessings of children, and wisdom and understanding, and joyful life? Whatever that is, God can give you all of them. In order to receive that, you have to become God-pleasing true children. You have to, as your soul prospers, all things will go well, and everything will go well, and you will enjoy good health as well. This is the 136th session on Job. If you have, we are now toward the end of the lectures on Job. What you have realized, what you have discovered, do you just remember them, or did you apply them in your life? So don't just let it, next week is the final session on Job. I will offer a comprehensive review of the entire book and share God's will. Brothers and sisters, the book of Job is not merely a story of one man's suffering or an ancient legend. Some theologians claim that the book of Job may not describe actual events, but God conveys the essential truths to us through Job, a real person. The reason Scripture records the names of Job's daughters, the exact number of his livestock, and even the span of his life is that all these accounts were real events. You shouldn't just consider it a folk tale. And these words are to be realized and lived out by us living in this very generation. That's why God recorded such a long passage of Book of Job. Through the Book of Job, God leads us to examine ourselves and teaches us the wisdom to discern the hearts of people. We talked about how Job, after his trials, and even those people who used to criticize him came back and shared their gifts. And even if another person betrays you, you don't need to feel hurt. Of course, you may feel a little sad, but that shouldn't give you pain in your heart, lasting pain in your heart. I hope that this will strengthen you. This is what human, fleshly people are like. So you can learn a lesson from them, and I hope that the Book of Job may be applied in your lives. Job's repentance after his trials and the double portion of blessing he received show us who is pleasing to God and what praise and blessing await those who endure trials. Therefore, may each of you receive the words given to Job as God's personal voice to you. Examine and discover yourselves through the words. Record what must be corrected. Repent and change yourselves one by one through prayer. In this way, may you quickly attain the heart of Holy Spirit that you earnestly long for. I pray in our Lord's name that our Father God looks at you and say the blessing of Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with a shout of joy.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.